Good day, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Father Blake Britton from St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today, we are commemorating the great feast of St. Matthias, Apostle of the Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment: love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I've heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name he may give you. This I command you: love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Matthias is the apostle who replaced Judas among the 12. In order to appreciate St. Matthias's importance, we have to interpret his role in light of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. In this particular section of the Bible, we read that Peter stood up in the midst of the brothers and sisters, and he said, "Judas was numbered among us and was allotted a share in this ministry. Therefore, it is necessary that one of the men who accompanied us the whole time the Lord Jesus came and went among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day on which he was taken up from us after his resurrection, must be a successor to Judas." So they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also known as Eustace, and Matthias. A couple of theological points to highlight in this interaction between Peter and the other disciples discerning who will succeed Judas. The first interesting thing is Peter being so adamant about replacing Judas. Why is our first pope, Saint Peter, vehemently asserting that we must complete the number of apostles whom Christ chose? Because the number 12 is essential in fulfilling God's promise to the nation of Israel. We know that when God promised Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, that promise is actualized temporarily through the 12 tribes of Israel. Those 12 tribes of Israel are the ones who are liberated from the yoke of Pharaoh by Moses. And then a promise is made to Moses that they would be brought into proper adoration and worship of God into a promised land where descendants from the 12 tribes of Israel would rule over all the ends of the earth. Then finally to King David, he says, "Someone from your line, from your own blood, David, will fulfill the prophecy that I made to the 12 tribes of Israel." This is why Christ, when God becomes flesh, chooses 12 men as head of the church. He chooses these 12 as representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel. This number 12 can be seen in various miracles of Christ as well, most notably in the feeding of the 5,000, after which there were 12 wicker baskets full of leftovers. This symbolizing how Christ, in his passion, death, and resurrection, will superabundantly bless, will superabundantly fulfill the promise made by his father to the 12 tribes of Israel. There must be 12 apostles in order to fulfill God's promise. Peter recognizes this as a devout Jew and also as our first pope. He wants to be faithful to the divine will of Christ. And in order to be faithful, he knows that he must replace the one who betrayed Christ in order to fulfill that ancient office of the 12 tribes of Israel, so as to manifest the new fulfillment of those tribes, which is the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. The acquisition of a 12th apostle is essential to that mission of establishing Mother Church. Another interesting detail is that Peter notes this person must be a first-hand witness of Christ from the beginning of his public ministry until the last day of his public ministry, namely, from his baptism in the River Jordan until his ascension to the Father. Why is this so vital? The 12 apostles are entrusted with the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. They are not simply disciples. There's a distinction here between apostles and disciples. Disciples are people who follow Christ in a secondhand way. They are people who hear the truth of Christ's message and then seek to share in the life of Christ, namely through sacred baptism and through the sacraments of the church. All of us are disciples, but not all of us are apostles. Apostles are men who are specifically entrusted with the office of the sacramental ministry of Christ himself and of protecting and safeguarding the tradition of Christ, protecting and safeguarding the dignity of Holy Mother Church. This can only be done by men who have encountered Christ primarily and who pass on the authority of that encounter with chosen successors. This will later on lead to the church's teaching on apostolic succession. The church is not ran by democracy. It's ran through the magisterium, meaning through those men who have been entrusted with the office of continuing on faithfully and passing down with devotion the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, the laity and priest, religious, all help in that ministry of passing on the teachings of Christ. Men and women share in that ministry and help promote it. But primarily, the preservation of this dignity is entrusted to the apostles and their successors, namely the bishops of the church. So Matthias, as one who will ordain someone to succeed him, as one who will pass on the teachings of Christ, must be a man who first and foremost walked with Christ, ate with Christ, preached with Christ, taught with Christ, suffered witnessing Christ's suffering, and rejoiced in witnessing his resurrection. My dear brothers and sisters, there is great joy in this fact that our religion is one which is passed down from first-hand accounts of the living Christ. This is what the ancient fathers call apostolic succession or apostolic foundations. That our faith is not one which is governed by opinion of any particular set of individuals, is not governed by a mere majority vote. It is not governed by whims or dictates of society or civilization. Rather, our faith is one that is rooted, that is founded upon the express intention of Jesus Christ himself and those original 12 whom he chose to carry on that mission. Jesus, after he rises from the dead, what does he do with these 12? He breathes on them. Breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive my Spirit, is what he's saying. Receive me. You now are my embodiment in the world. This is what the priesthood is. This is what the episcopacy is. What it means to be a priest and a bishop. To be one who's been entrusted with the sacramental ministry of Christ. Entrusted with manifesting in our midst the living presence of Jesus, primarily through the sacrifice of the Holy Mass, but also through the other six sacraments. Our faith is built upon these foundations, unshakable foundations with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. With Jesus Christ himself, his own breath of life that he imbued within the lungs of these 12 men and gave them the authority to forgive and to bind, gave them the authority to teach and to preach, gave them the authority to manifest his divine mercy and love in the world. That is what the Catholic Church is founded upon. So as we celebrate this great feast today, let us firstly thank God for fulfilling his promise to the nation of Israel through the 12 tribes and manifesting that promise through the actualization of his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Secondly, let us thank God for the gift of our religion not being built upon the opinion of any man or any woman, but being founded upon himself, the cornerstone, and shared intentionally with his 12 apostles, and that those 12 men have chosen for the past 2,000 years by means of succession, soul after soul after soul, even down to our own bishop in this local diocese, other men who are entrusted with the same task of evangelization, with the same task of maintaining and preserving the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. Finally, let us truly come to understand this faith that has been afforded by the sacrifice of the holy apostles. Saint Matthias was a martyr, killed in the year 64 AD, shed his blood for the gospel. May we not allow this blood to be shed in vain. May we treasure this apostolic faith. May we treasure this Catholic faith that has been given to us through our baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. And may we preach it with the same passion and zeal to all the ends of the earth. Amen.